Auf geht's.
Mach deinen Jingle.
Are you ready?
Willkommen.
Here is Die Auszeit, der Bamberg Baskets Podcast.
Here we go.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Ausgabe der Auszeit, dem Bamberg Baskets Podcast. Auch heute wieder mit Carsten Tadda.
Hallo.
David Swisser.
Guten Tag.
Und mit unserem heutigen Studiogast, mit DeMarcus Demonia.
Yo, 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 Freak City.
Okay.
You know, DeMarcus, that your first name is quite a challenge for somebody who's living here. DeMarcus, it's very difficult.
Yeah, I heard it was hard to say my last name too from someone in the crowd. Like when they said, it was hard for them to say my last name as well.
So I heard people say, what is his first name, DeMarcus or Demonia?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So this is crazy, I think.
Nah, DeMarcus, Demonia, that's how you say it.
And there's another name?
Middle name, Marquette.
Where does this come from?
I really don't know. I haven't asked that before. I really don't know. I have a cousin named Marquette, but that's about it. So that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, well, let's start with talking about the last game, our cup game against Heidelberg. Mm-hmm. Dan Janssen, the coach of Heidelberg, called it a dogfight. It was like a cup game normally is. It was a fight for, yeah, every possession until the end.
Yeah, it was. We had a time where we could have put them away, where we were up 10, you know, whatever the case may be. We got to do a better job holding them off, not letting them come back in the game, making a one possession game. But I would say it was a dogfight. It was a good game, but you know, we came out on top, and I felt good that game. You know, hit some big shots. We played together. You know, we always, like I said in the interview before, like, could get at each other and, you know, push each other into that next gear to make another person play better or, you know, make sure we're picking up what we're supposed to pick up.
What was going on in this third quarter where you, as team, missed, I think, 12 or 13 free throws?
I guess it's just the focus thing, you know, and we've been working on that every day in practice. Where, you know, when we done going live, you know, we get on the free throw line while we tired, being able to shoot while we tired, and that's probably what it was in the game too. Some guys tired, rushing shots.
So what do you think made the difference in the end that you guys come out with the win?
I feel like we probably played more aggressive. We just kept playing together as well. I think we do that good when we're actually dialed in. We could pretty much battle and fight with anybody in the game.
Yeah, this also, I think it's my impressions, like when some things are going well, you guys are really like super together, super close, like pushing each other. And yeah, then when things going super well, like the emotions going high, mm-hmm, the crowd's also like influencing the game. So yeah, I think this looks pretty well this season. Yeah, so yeah, far. Yeah.
And you came out the gate like with energy. After you hit your first three, you already looked into the crowd and started, yeah, flexing a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
does this game, if it's a do or die game, does it make a difference to you?
Not really. I try to come out every game with a lot of energy because like that's just me. That's my personality. Like any team that I've ever been on, I've always been like the energy guy, and you know the team feeds off, you know, certain energy that certain players might bring and stuff like that. So I just try to be the energy guy for every team that I have been on. And, you know, it feeds off on everybody else. And then when you get into it with the fans and then, you know, it get loud, that really helps us.
Is it the difference for you this year? I mean, BBC Byron have great fans, mm-hmm, but it's a little bit smaller. It's a little bit bigger here in Bamberg. First game was sold out. Do you notice it? Does it even give you more fire?
Yeah, definitely. I have noticed it. It definitely get louder here. I can say that because it's, you know, bigger, more people and stuff like that. And the fans are crazy, man. But I love it. I love it. But I can, you know, sense the difference a little bit.
Since we're here with the difference now, like, what is for you the difference or the biggest difference between the Pro A and now the BBL? I mean, if you compare the games for you or from the outside, it looks like there's, like, for you personally, no big difference because you still play same kind of basketball and it looks like you've never been in the Pro A before or you only played in BBL. Mm. But what are the biggest difference between the Pro A and the BBL?
I say maybe it's, you know, different skill level and, you know, just IQ, but really it's just probably more physical, I say, but basketball overseas is just physical anyway, just pretty much that.
But the pace is the same?
If you make it the pace, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But kind of. But I feel like in Pro A, it was a little more faster maybe. Just up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I feel like here sometimes it, you know, slow down, like actually get something. But that just plays a part with IQ, knowing the game, having a feel for it and stuff like that.
So I mean, like in the BBL, it's like the guards see the difference. Okay, we have something, we can run. If not, we control the game.
Yeah.
We organize more. So that's the biggest difference for you then,
yeah,
compared to the Pro A.
Yeah, definitely. And really just being able to like take your time with like certain moves. Everything don't have to be just one pace, one pace, one pace, and just full speed, just keep going and stuff like that.
Is there also something where you say, okay, it's harder to get easier shots or more open shots because the defenders are better also in the BBL, or is it similar?
I feel like it's kind of similar. I don't shoot easy shots anyway. All my shots are really kind of like heavily contested.
Yeah, we saw that in Heidelberg.
I mean, I work on that over the summertime. So, I mean, I feel comfortable, you know, shooting those shots, and it's all about confidence anyway. I put in the work, so the confidence is going to take you to where you need to be. But I feel like it is kind of easier to get better shots in Pro A than BBL, definitely.
Maybe because your role changed as well? Because, I mean, in Bayreuth, you were the guy?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of plays a role, but I still get good open shots off of, you know, like good screens if the play is ran, like, towards my side or something like that. And just really, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not a big change, but it's definitely a big change because last year, yeah, I did have the ball in my hand a lot. We really pretty much played through the four, but here it's kind of the same.
So you played the four in Bayreuth?
Yeah, three? Okay. Yeah. I played just the four, really, and that's pretty much everywhere where I've been because it's a mismatch on the other side.
Because that's the position you want to play?
I'm cool with it. I always played the four, like the wing type of thing. So, I mean, it's pretty much easy. It ain't, you know, that hard, that much that you got to do. But most of the times I have a mismatch, so I love it.
What do you mean mismatch? Because of your pace? Because yeah, in size, so, the four, and normally yeah, the BBL, they are a little bigger?
Yeah, and more slower.
Yeah.
As a four, nowadays, it's more like a stretch four. Because the four is like playing more on the three-point line. Do you feel more comfortable playing inside, like posting up, or is it more isolation, one-on-one from the three-point line?
I feel like I could do, you know, pretty much everything. Like, I could go post up. They'd probably be, like, bigger in size and stuff like that, but I could score down low. I have, you know, some post-up moves, so I could really do it all three levels. I feel comfortable doing it as well. So it really doesn't make a difference.
I think the fans are pretty interested. Like, what is DeMarcus Demonia doing when he has an off day? Like, how does an off day look like for you?
It depends on the day and how I feel. I might, you know, go take a walk through the city, maybe do some shopping.
How long do you sleep, first of all? So you are sleeping in, or you are your early bird, or?
Okay, I'm not a morning person, but I don't sleep in. No matter what time I go to sleep, I'm always up by 10:30. My body doesn't allow me to sleep past that. Sometimes I'd be up at 8 just because of our regular schedule from practice and stuff. I lay there until probably about 11, 12, depending on what I have to do or what I plan to do that day. But if it's a Sunday, then it's a deep clean in the house, listening to some good music, you know, probably a good breakfast, preparing a good Sunday dinner, play the game a little bit, maybe go for a walk. But if it's like a Monday or throughout the week, I probably go to Bayreuth, hang with some old teammates, or, you know, get together with some teammates here, probably go have lunch, you know, chill, just talk.
Okay, so you're super social then at the end. So you're not one of the guys, say, like sleeping in until noon, then making out a breakfast, a lunch, because they skipped the breakfast. And then you've been on the PlayStation for 3-4 hours making dinner and then going to bed. So you would say about yourself, you're also a person that like likes to go out for a walk, having a coffee, lunch or whatever, like a social person.
Yeah, I say I'm that type of person. I can't sleep in that long. I don't see how people do it.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I just feel like it's kind of a waste towards the day that you could be doing something to be productive.
And how do you like it so far in Bamberg, like Bamberg City? I mean, it's a little, not really, but a little bit bigger than Bayreuth. How you like it so far? city-wise, people-wise, also fan-wise? Like, what do you think about that?
I think it's pretty nice. It's definitely a beautiful city. I've seen Germany definitely have some beautiful cities. The fans are nice. I love them. The people here, they're nice as well. They're kind of outgoing, or, you know, they'll speak. Sometimes you see a tall person just walking around, you know, they might think we play basketball. And, you know, they're just so amazed, so they, you know, stare sometimes. But I get that a lot.
Yeah, but I can tell you there's nothing, they will not change, because, I mean, basketball is so big in Bamberg. And when there's a tall person walking through the city, I mean, everybody's watching. And especially when there's like, an American, they've recognized you guys and figure out that you're a basketball player. So you have to get used to this. And I mean, at the end of the day, they're just super excited when they see you guys walking through the city.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I am kind of used to it. Whenever I do see it, you know, especially if it's like a younger kid, you know, some ask for pictures, or like I just go shake their hand, because, you know, that could probably make their day and stuff like that. So I like doing stuff like that.
I think it's important also, especially in a city like Bamberg, that we are open for the fans, make pictures, sign some autographs. And it's also part of your job, basically.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite spot already? Where to go? I don't know, maybe get lunch?
Culinaria.
Ah, EB taught you there, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, EJ. Well, EJ Rodez.
EJ Rodez, okay.
Yeah, EJ likes steak.
Yeah.
I remember when he was here the first time, he was like every time eating every tomahawk steak, so.
Now
until he was checking his paycheck, I was like, oh shit, I should slow this down a little bit.
Yeah, now it's once a month he reward himself with a ribeye. USA ribeye.
Yeah. Or was it ribeye? Yeah, something like this. Yeah.
EB told us when he was here in the podcast that when you came in here, you were a very quiet guy. First of all, checking out the whole situation. So what have you checked out, and how is your role right now on this team?
I feel like that's just my personality. Anywhere that I am in a room, I like to be quiet, you know, see how everyone is, vibes and stuff like that. And then now, you know, figure my way out with everything, just see how I could talk, you know, things like that. But I feel like I have a great role here, to be vocal, you know, kind of like a leader, and people, you know, kind of respect that as well.
When you played in Treiskirchen or in Bayreuth, you were the go-to guy on those teams. Mm-hmm. Have you expected to have such a big role here in Bamberg when you came here?
I kind of talked to coach before I did come. I wouldn't say a big role, but definitely a major role where I'll impact the game, whether it's on defense or, you know, offensively. And I feel like that's where I separate myself at, because I bring so much energy on both sides of the ball. It's like not too many other players can do that.
When you went to Bayreuth, you talked to coach Florian Wedel about the style Bayreuth wants to play. And you said that this fits to your personal style of playing basketball. Mm-hmm. That talk between you and the head coach, how was it here in Bamberg when you were talking with Coach Gavel?
It was kind of the same. Basically, the offense is still kind of the same, play somewhat through the four, but mostly, you know, through the guards, or like pick and roll with the guard and five. But it was a pretty much kind of similar conversation about how the game would be played, and like, you know, fast pace up and down, like getting out in transition as well. If I could score in transition, then, you know, get out and go score. But definitely being able to defend and then get out in transition.
I know that you always want to make the next step. So this is why you were in Austria, then went to Pro A, and now you're in BBL. But what are your personal goals as a player?
Really just to always be able to get my next contract, because it's never always promised, and just to have healthy seasons, and whatever the next step for me is. I never want to take a step back, but definitely want to take a step forward and be able to take care of my family.
Is there a specific process or preparation you do every time before the game or practice, because you say you want to take care of your body? Is there something special you do, or also at home using a lot of recovery stuff?
Yeah, I got, so far at home, I got boots and like a little stretch band. I normally do that. And then before a game, I come in a little early, do some stretching for my legs and stuff like that. And then, you know, just stretch with Mark before practices. I do like a prehab, some things for like upper body, lower body. And then I get a nice little lift in before, just for like activation.
I would say let's go back a little bit to the basketball situation. I mean, you guys won against Heidelberg. Now you made it to the top four. We know we play Munich in the semis. How excited are you for the top four?
I'm very excited. We definitely can make a good run if we come out and, you know, fire on all cylinders and play together and just stay together. We can make it an interesting game. But it's definitely good to be back. I heard this is like the third time, if I'm correct, that they're back to the Final Four. So I definitely want to make it out of the Final Four and, you know, get to the finals. I'm not sure how many times they've been to the finals, but it'd be definitely good.
Last year we went there.
Okay, yeah.
And we also, I mean, we won it a couple of times, but in the last three times, last year we went to the final and lost.
Okay.
If we can tell you about that.
I also can tell them about it.
I didn't play. You know, when we're talking about next steps, then it's time to take the next step, because the first time in the Final Four, we lost in the semifinal.
To Munich.
The last year, we lost in the final, so okay. Let's take the next step.
That's definitely the next step. And I definitely want to get to a finals in my career, so.
And, I mean, next game coming up on Saturday in Oldenburg, they also made it to the top four, beating Fechter with a buzzer beater from Clemens. What do you think, what do you guys need to get the win in Oldenburg?
We got to come out and punch first, definitely, because they're going to come out with a lot of confidence. And, you know, especially playing at home in front of their fans, they're going to definitely be loud. And then I think they're like 1-6, I believe, in the league or something like that. So they definitely
last. Yeah,
so they definitely going to try to come out and, you know, try to flip the script since they're, you know, down early, you know, going into the break. But we got to come out and hit first, and just we got to keep the lead from there.
Is there like specific player coach was talking about already? You got to have like a main focus on it.
Yeah, probably Clemens. We got to stop him from getting hot early. I know like one game, I think it was against Trier, he had like 52 or something like that. It's pretty crazy, but yeah, we shut him down, really just shut everyone down, but, you know, get the ball out of his hands, shut him down, and then we'll see from there.
Let's go back in your career. You didn't start to play basketball until you were 17, right?
Yeah, like
played
my
American
11th grade
football?
Year. Yeah, my 11th grade year. I started, coach named Brian Brooks, because I used to just walk around in the halls. And he seen me. I wasn't always this tall neither. But yeah, he seen me and said I should just come out and try out. And ever since then, I just, you know, fell in love with it. So I just kept going and just to see where it took me. I never would have thought I'd be, you know, playing professionally though.
And why not go back to American football? You played corner, right?
I played quarterback and corner.
Okay.
But I don't know, I just felt like it wasn't for me, maybe. Not even just like the physicality or nothing like that. I just feel like it wasn't for me.
But is there something you took away from playing football to use now?
Being able to read the court, having an IQ of things that will happen on the court.
I would also think like stability.
Yeah, that's
if you definitely play cornerback, you have to run backwards all the time.
Use your body.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and then your path was like not very typical. You started out in Austria. How did you get the call to go there? Not really a basketball country.
I mean, it's a great start out. That's, you know, I heard it's great for like people that weren't like high D1 college players and stuff like that to go there and put numbers up or whatever, you know. But we kind of turned it around there, made it to the semifinals and lost in game 5. But I definitely learned a lot from the coach. And just, you know, first year being overseas from the older vets and stuff that we had on the team, I learned a lot from them.
What was your biggest takeaway from this year?
From the year?
Yeah, from playing in Austria, yeah. Your first time overseas.
I had to get used to a lot of things, like the defensive 3 seconds, they don't have that here. Smacking the ball off the rim, that kind of got me a lot a few times. And the open step, they call it a travel here.
Yep.
So I had to get adjusted to that, but I really pretty much can adjust to things quickly, so it wasn't that bad.
And off the court, I mean, I'm in Austria, same as here, everything like closes very early. On Sunday, everything is closed. How did you get used to that?
It took a while, because my first or maybe second off day we had on a Sunday. I woke up with my regular routine. I didn't have anything in the house at the time. So, you know, I woke up, did my deep clean, thought I was going to go to the store to get me a good, you know, something to cook for dinner. And it was around like 1-2 o'clock. So I know the stores would be open, but.
And nobody warned you.
The parking lot was so empty. I was like, bro, like, what's going on? So like, text one of my teammates, like, yeah, bro, the stores are closed on Sunday. I'm like, bro, no way. So I just walked back home and I just ordered something from a restaurant.
So Enzo is doing a really good job here, informing you when the stores are closed next day. So,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been doing very good with that.
And on Thursday, you saw on the Heidelberg side, someone you played in the same year in Austria, you played with Michael Weathers.
Weathers.
He played on another team, but in the same league.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to see, you know, you both came up, went to the smaller league in Austria. Now both of you guys have big roles in your teams. He's playing Champions League this year with Heidelberg.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I love to see it, definitely. It's just like anybody, like even with you guys, is, you know, next step in anybody's career. Mm. I love to see it. There's quite a few guys that I played in Austria with, or even just in Pro A last year, that's playing here now. So I definitely love to see it, and, you know, hope much success for them.
But you and Michael Weathers, do you talk, or? I mean, you cannot be in contact with every American.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But, yeah, a little bit. And, you know, we hung out a few times in Austria as well. But last year, not so much, stuff like that. But, you know, whenever we see each other, you know, it's all love.
How valuable is it here in Bamberg having a coach with Anton Gavel or with Arne Waldman with so much experience on the highest level of European basketball?
It's definitely good. Anytime that they see something, they, you know, come correct it. And it's good to have that around because, like, you learn from it. So it's always going to help you improve your game. And wanting to get to that next step, whether it's EuroLeague or, you know, international competition, those are, you know, good people to have around to be able to push you.
Does it make a difference to you if the coach played it himself?
Not really. Most of the time, coaches that have played, they might know a little, you know, better, you know, and in situations and just how a player might feel and stuff like that. So that might be the only takeaway from a coach that didn't play, that did play.
We talked about you being at the start, being a very quiet guy. Mm-hmm. Does it come from your family growing up with two brothers and two sisters?
Not really. I just always been a quiet person. I guess it's just me. It's really, I'm just quiet until I'm comfortable. So if I'm not comfortable with you, I'm not going to be open and, you know, stuff like that. But once I'm comfortable, it's a wrap. Like, I'm just talking, joking around. Like, even in practice with the guys and stuff like that, I'm just always joking around, you know, just to bring some type of good energy, positive vibes, you know, just have everyone smiling.
What role does music play in your life?
It plays a big role. Listen to some good R&B. You play the good songs and it boosts your mood.
Are you a singer or a rapper?
Nah, I try, but.
You say no because otherwise you got to try for us.
No, I'm not a rapper. I try to sing in the shower, but that's the only time.
What is your go-to song right now?
That's kind of tough. My go-to song, probably Candy by Cameo.
Okay. So that's the song you listen? Nah, but I would listen to it afterwards. Yeah. But is this the song you were listening before the game also, or is this like a specific playlist you have to prepare for the game?
I kind of listen to it before the game sometimes. It just got a good like vibe to it. They used to play it for me last year in Bayreuth. So anytime I go back, the DJ already know, he just play it.
Okay,
we got to take notes.
Yeah.
I didn't really recognize it. Are you a player that warming up with headphones on the court, or you're a social guy that's listening to the music that's played in the gym?
I'm pretty much
like
listening
a pre-warm up.
Yeah, I'm really pretty much listening to the music that's played in the gym. It just depends if the playlist is good or not. Then, you know, I might have my headphones on for a little bit, but I really don't like to really have them on.
I read that when you moved from Maryland to Texas A&M, your mom and your grandmom went with you. How big is the role of your family?
You really read
in
it?
Your life? Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that was out.
I heard it was a 19-hour drive, something like that. You three packed everything, and then you drove by car 19 hours to Texas.
So. Yeah, because it was like I think I had got accepted kind of late, and then I think school started like that Monday, and I got like accepted on like a Friday, Saturday or something. So we just packed everything up and drove. It was a long ride, but we did it. We did it. But now I done did that drive about 7-8 times, like maybe 3 or 4 by myself. It's okay drive, but family definitely plays a big role. Everything I do now, kind of do it for them, just to show them, especially my younger siblings, just to show them that it's more to life. Just being in like the DMV area, or just, you know, just trying to do what everybody else does. Just be yourself and, you know, go out, explore, and just not to care about what other people think about you or whatever you do.
Have they been here in Europe to see you play?
No, not my youngest siblings. My cousin, grandma, and aunt came last year. They tried to surprise me, but I ended up catching them before the game.
But is there a plan that your younger siblings also coming?
Maybe, but I know maybe in like February or something like that, my mom, cousin, and grandma, and one of my other cousins plan to come back out here and, you know, watch a game and stuff like that.
They want to surprise you again?
Nah, we're going to plan it this time. So we could probably get some off time and spend together outside of basketball.
See the beautiful city of Bamberg. Yeah. Eat some Franconian food.
Yeah, I'm going to get them to try some things.
Yeah, what do you like? Did you try Franconian kitchen cuisine?
Schäufele.
Nah, only thing I ever tried was schnitzel. Ah. Yeah, that was it. And it's a type of soup that I do like, but I don't know the name of it.
What is in it?
When I looked it up, it was like some, like, I think like pancake, like,
oh yeah,
or something like that.
Fledlesuppe.
Yeah, something like that.
That's not Franconia, right?
It's not. Also,
I don't know, but
I know. Any plans for November 25th? Thanksgiving.
Probably make myself a nice dinner or something.
No, I thought you're going to invite us over for Thanksgiving.
Bring a whole turkey.
For me, it was so exciting, always getting invited from the Americans for a nice Thanksgiving dinner with a big turkey and sweet smashed potato. And what else you got for dishes?
Yeah, I don't think I could cook like that, man. But I don't know. Last year, we did like a kind of a team Thanksgiving, kind of, with all the Americans. So I'm not sure what we'll do this year. But if we definitely do it, you know, you invite it.
Maybe you got to find us to cook, maybe, and we're going to come.
Yeah. Maybe we do it at EB Place.
Then you would come over there for sure, right? Now, I'm used to, like, you usually the wives of the Americans are cooking the Thanksgiving dinner. But I figured out it's only 2 this year, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we count Zach, then 3.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah, okay. But he's not American.
Yeah.
No, but I don't give him this American. He wish like he would be American. Yeah.
He's saved from Chicago.
Yeah, but he's still born somewhere else.
Yeah, okay.
And grew up also.
Yeah.
Anything else, gentlemen?
Any words for our fans?
Keep being great. We love you.
Da muss man immer mehr sagen, glaube ich. Schön, dass ihr wieder dabei wart bei der Auszeit. Danke, Carsten.
Sehr gerne.
Danke, David.
Vielen Dank.
And thank you very much, DeMarcus.
You're welcome.
And all the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you.